Amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. The book of Revelation, chapter 13. Some time ago, we started in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, and we gave you one outline on every book of the Bible. Went all the way through the Old Testament as well as the New Testament to give you an understanding what every book of the Bible is there for, why God has placed it where He's placed it, and what it tells us, what it gives us. It's a blessing to understand your Bible. Then we got to the book of Revelation, and after we gave the outline on the book of Revelation, we started breaking it down and studying it chapter by chapter, actually verse by verse. And we found that there was so much there, so much in the book of Revelation. It is one of the most difficult books for anyone to fully understand. If you're going to understand what God has for us in the book of Revelation, you have to have a good understanding of the overall Bible. Because there's much in the Old Testament. The prophecies of the Old Testament are actually revealed more clearly in the book of Revelation. In the prophecy of the Old Testament, it revealed much about what was going to take place in the coming of the Messiah. That was a mystery in the Old Testament, the church, the New Testament. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, a mystery of the Old Testament. But some of these prophets prophesied of what would take place. They prophesied of the Messiah coming and born of a virgin. It prophesied the life of Christ. It prophesied about the church. Even though it did not outline the church, it gave us insight into the church. There was prophecy concerning the death of Christ as being the sacrificial lamb. There's prophecy in the Old Testament of the crucifixion. There's prophecy of the Old Testament about the resurrection. There's prophecy in the Old Testament about this entire church age and then what is to follow. Great prophecies by Daniel and Isaiah concerning the revelation, concerning the rapture of the church and the millennial reign of Christ and all the different things that we find in the book of Revelation. So it's all there. And having an understanding of the entire Bible helps us to go through and study the book of the Revelation. Now, as we study the book of the Revelation, God has a purpose for revealing what He has revealed. Old Testament, He revealed the New Testament. Now, in the New Testament, we look back and we see all of those prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah, a virgin-born Son of God, concerning His life, concerning the crucifixion, concerning the resurrection. Now we know that all those prophecies were true. And now we look back and we see how that through time, these prophecies that were given started to come to light. And so we know all these prophecies were true. And now we're looking at the prophecies concerning the church age. That's where we're living right now. We're living in the dispensations of time. We're living in this church age that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, established. He ushered in the church age. And it's all right there. And then He gives us prophecies during the church age as what would take place at the end of the church age. Then we get into the book of Revelation. And it reveals to us what prophecies that have already come to life, already been fulfilled. And then it reveals to us what will take place once this church age comes to an end. Now, it's a blessing because if the prophecies of old have come to pass, then we are strengthened in our belief of what the prophecies of the future will be. Amen. Knowing that this is what God says will happen, and sometimes even if it's kind of confusing and how it's going to happen, we know it's going to happen because it's prophecy, because God said it would happen. Amen. And then we start looking around once we understand the prophecies of the book of Revelation as what was take place with the rapture, what's going to take place on this earth. And then we start looking around saying, wow, everything is starting to position itself for these prophecies to be fulfilled. And this gets exciting. I mean, it really does, because we know the truth that we have been given is real. That's why I said about that song a while ago. Praise the Lord. When you know heavens to be real, you can rejoice when this life is over. Amen. And you can rejoice for those who have passed off the scene here to know that they're not dead. If they're in Christ, to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. That's a hallelujah. Amen. We can get carried away with something like that. We can get excited about that, knowing that to be true. And that's the only truth, and the only comfort in death is life. But we have the promise of life. Praise the Lord. So as we get into the book of Revelation, understand that God has a purpose for revealing what he has revealed. He doesn't give us everything that's going to take place, but he gives us enough insight to know what it's going to be like, and enough insight to realize that, wow, look around. One world religion, one world government, it is coming to pass. It is, things are getting in position for that, which reveals that we are closer to that time than the rapture of the church and at any other point in time, at any other point in history. We're closer today than ever before. And things are aligning itself for that to come to pass. Just for the believer that understands that, it is a help and a strength to have the book of Revelation to be able to read and study concerning the future. The Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through to eternity future. Everything we need to know and can know about the past, where we came from, look to the Bible. Don't look to the prophecies of man, the philosophies of man. Amen? The Bible's true. Amen? When man's thoughts contradict the Bible, let every man be a liar. Amen? The Word of God is true. Hold on to that. God did create things. You did not evolve from animal or plant life or any other kind. God created man, and he created woman. He designed a way to procreate. He designed the earth for mankind. All of that, you can count, you can just rest assured that is true. What God has told us about the past is true. And so it takes us, the Bible takes us from eternity past, we see that. It tells us what's going on today as far as this church age and the battles of this age and what's most important during this age, during this dispensation of time. And then he reveals to us future. Everything that we can and need to know about the future is recorded in the Bible. I often say you don't have to call the psychic hotline to find out what your future is going to be. Amen? Just get into the Bible. Understand, God knows and he reveals to us what the future holds for mankind. Well, good men, as we get into the book of Revelation, understand that good men differ some on the interpretation. They don't differ on the doctrine. But as far as who's going to be what and some of the different types and some of the different symbols, they differ a little bit on that. And it's all right. You know, it'll all be made clear to us. That was one point. Amen. And then those that disagree with me will realize they were wrong. So we understand that. Amen. That's right. No, so there's going to be some difference in interpretations. And what I have said all along, our study in the book of Revelations is a practical study. I'm a practical preacher. I want to try to break it down and present it to you in a way that you can leave here with help knowing how to make an application. Even in the book of Revelation, there's help there so we can make an application, be helped by understanding the things that God's revealed to us. Revelation chapter 13, so far we have gotten into the seven-year tribulation period. That's chapter 6 through chapter 19. We're right in the middle of that right now. We're in chapter, we're going to finish up chapter 13 tonight. Chapter 6 through 19, it reveals the tribulation, the seven-year tribulation period, which begins at the rapture of the church, and then there's going to be the judgments. We know that there's going to be a seven-year tribulation, 7 years of judgments, broken down into 2 3.5-year segments is what's going to be taking place. There's 7 seal judgments that are going to lead into 7 trumpet judgments, which include the 7 vials or the last plagues that God is going to pour out upon the earth. And that's toward the end of the 7-year tribulation. And then we find that in chapter 12 and 13, he reveals some what the Bible, well, what most commentaries would present as being personages. A personage is a person of distinction. And God gives us 7 personages that we need to understand that's going to be key in the 7-year tribulation period. We've studied six of those. The last one we found in chapter 13 was the sixth personage, was the first beast that is revealed to be the Antichrist. This is going to be more of a political figure. He's going to have the backing of the world leaders, and he will bring the world together. One of his functions is to bring the world together into a one world government. And this is going to be the Antichrist. Now, the second is revealed here in chapter 13, verses 11 through 18. So if you'll stand with me, hopefully I've briefly caught you up to where we're at here in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 13, the seventh personage, which is the beast, the second beast, which will be the false prophet. The false prophet. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns. Out of the earth is reveals, and the first was out of the sea of humanity. This is the earth, out of the earth filled of humanity. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell thereon to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live, making him deity and causing the world to want to worship this deity. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And six, or 666. Let's pray and we'll get right into it. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you again, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for every opportunity that you make available to us just to have a better understanding of who you are, have a better understanding of the precious word that you have preserved for us that we might know truth, past, present, and future. Thank you for each one that's here tonight, and they've made a conscious decision to be in church this evening. And I pray you'd bless their desire and their faithfulness to be here. Pray that you'd give each one of us that ear to hear and a mind to understand that which you have for us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. The second beast is the false prophet that will go right along with the Antichrist, the man of Antichrist, because this second beast is a person that is going to be a religious figure. The first, as we study the first beast, which is the Antichrist, he is going to be more of a political leader. He's going to bring the kingdoms of the world, the nations of the world together. He's going to have the power, as we've already studied, what God revealed about him. And so this is more of a political leader that will be looked upon as a one world leader. The next, the false prophet, is one that is going to be looked upon as just that, as a religious prophet. So this particular person will become from a religious background. In verse 11, the Bible says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." First thing we want to look at is how the Bible describes him. The Bible describes this false prophet as one that comes as seen to be a lamb. a lamb. A lamb gives the appearance of being harmless, as was Jesus Christ. Now, Satan has always tried to mimic Christ in order to deceive the world to follow him. And the world is very much aware of the Lamb of God. The world is very much aware of Christ, and they will reject Christ. They'll reject the teachings of Christ, and that would be the Antichrist. That is Antichrist, anti-Bible, anti-whatever Jesus Christ established. And so now from this religious group that will want to bring the world together in a one world religion. If you study the book of Revelation, we know that's where the world is going. The world is going and will be set up as a one world government with a one world currency and a one world religion. Now, if you look around, it doesn't really take a rocket scientist to see that that's exactly where the world is going today. And there will be, and we see it moving in that direction. The Bible has this recorded for some, the New Testament, for some 2,000 years. Amen? And yet, knowing this, and it's been 2,000 years, but now we can really see how all of this is possible. Before, without having the computer systems that we have today and all the new technology and being able to believe that we could see what's going on around the world, the whole world would be able to view what's taking place in Israel. The whole world would be able to be kept track of. Every man, woman, and child would be able, some machine or somebody would be able to track down every person on the earth, keep track of what they're doing, keep track of their buying and selling. So think about that. 2,000 years ago, you would have thought, well, now that's far-fetched. Today, no big deal. With what God has allowed in computers and technology today, there's no one that under. And I'm not a computer whiz at all. I just barely do a little bit of texting anymore. I mean, and I was somewhat forced into that. But but the idea there is, anybody that knows technology today, you think, it's probably can put it all on a little chip. It's amazing what they're able to do. And yet the Bible tells us these things are going to take place. And God knew what kind of technology would have in this 21st century. And it would take the technology that we have for the Word of God to be true. For them to be able to do what they're going to be able to do during this tribulation period. And so again, you understand that. It just helps us to realize, wow. God really knows what he's talking about. The Bible is true. It's without error. It's beyond man's comprehension. God revealed this to us some 2,000 years ago, the New Testament, the book of Revelation, all that. It's beyond man's comprehension. It's beyond what man's ability would have been, but it's not beyond God. God is almighty. He's a sovereign God. And helps us today to put our faith not in man, but put our faith in God and his word. Again, God has a purpose for revealing what he has revealed. So he's describing this second beast, which will be this false prophet. And he describes him that the world will see him as an appearance of being harmless. In John chapter 1, as you know, Satan in the Old Testament, he tried to match everything that God would do in performing miracles with Moses and Aaron against Pharaoh. It's not nothing new. Satan has always tried to match, if you will, the teachings and the powers of God so that man would worship him and look to him. Jesus came into this world as a sacrificial Lamb of God. There was a purpose for him coming into the world as a sacrificial lamb. We find that John the Baptist, and on Wednesday nights, once we get through in our study of Joseph, we're going to go into a study on the life of John the Baptist. I'm excited about it, getting into it. But we find here that John the Baptist says this about Jesus, as he was a forerunner for Jesus Christ. In chapter 1 of John, in verse 35 and verse 36, the Bible says that again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Jesus revealed that he didn't come to judge the world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. There in John chapter 3 and verse 17, it says this, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." There was a reason he came as a sacrificial lamb, because he had to die on Calvary's cross to pay the sin debt that the world owed and could not pay. He was a true sacrificial lamb. This lamb is not going to be a true lamb. His appearance will be harmless, but he is one that will do much harm. This lamb is a deceiver and a devil. The Bible says about him, had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. The dragon refers to that serpent, Satan, the devil. In verse 14, it says, "And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth." So we find that he is a deceiver. He is a liar. He wants to present himself one way, but he is anything but what he wants you to think he is. He appeareth as an angel, and yet he is a devil. A wolf, possibly, in sheep's clothing. Exactly what Jesus warned us of. If you will, go back in Matthew chapter 7. Let me read it to you, and you can write it down. But Matthew chapter 7, we find that's exactly what Jesus warned the people of. Chapter 7, verse 15, he says this, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And that's true in this church age. There's those cults and religions that have nothing but lies and deceit and only want to use people. And they'll draw you in by appearing to be a lamb. And actually, it'll be a wolf looking to devour. The false prophet, the Bible tells us what's going to happen to him in the book of Revelation chapter 19. We'll be getting there in some time. But Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet." So the first beast, which should have been the leader of the political world, the Antichrist, and this false prophet, which will actually be the leader of the religious world during the tribulation, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them and had to receive the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. The first that'll be cast into eternal Gehenna hell. Satan, after he's bound a year, then he himself will be cast in there, and then all of those that fail to receive Christ also be cast into this eternal lake of fire, which the Bible calls eternal hell. But the lamb, the one who comes as a lamb, as a deceiver, this false prophet, will be cast into this place of hell with the leader of the first beast, the Antichrist. Now the Bible reveals this beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns. Two horns. They would be a symbol of his strength, a symbol of authority. Many believe this would be someone of a religious figure that would have the authority of possibly the two main religious denominations of the day. If you look at some, and one especially that is growing leaps and bounds, is Islam. Many believe this particular prophet will have the authority of Islam. And many believe that this same prophet, possibly this other horn, would represent Catholicism or a type of Christianity. To be able to bring the world together and joining the two of them so that they're not in battle with each other, join the two of them in such a way that it would become a one world religion. We know that he's going to lead in worship, but not the worship of God. The Bible says there in verse 12, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth. And so we know it's a one world religion. Causes the earth and them that dwell thereon to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He is going to, the prophet, the false prophet, is going to be prophesying that this other Antichrist is deity. And he is one that deserves the worship of mankind. And he will perform different miracles. We'll get into that in just a minute. But his whole place is to point the worship, the religion of the world, to worship and to fall down and look to him as being God. The world has already denied Christ. The church is gone. The true church is gone. And the world will look to the Antichrist, the first beast, and they will worship him. Wow. It's amazing what religion can do to people. We don't need religion today. Now, what people need is Christ. But people get so caught up in religion that they'll do whatever the religious hierarchy tells them to do. Jim Jones right here in Indianapolis, amen? How could people be so blinded to follow him to a different location and set up their own little commune and eventually follow him to the place that they would drink a deadly Kool-Aid? And you sit back and you look at that and you think, how foolish. And yet, given the right circumstances or the wrong circumstances and the wrong deceit and the lies, the world will follow after, the Bible reveals. The earth will follow after this false prophet, and they will bow down and worship this man and an image that is set up to represent him. Again, this is during the tribulation period. We can see it getting set up today. We can see how it could happen, and we know it's going to happen. Praise the Lord, the church is not here. Amen. We're up meeting with the Lord. Amen. What a blessing that's going to be, having a hallelujah time, preparing to come back and rule and reign for 1,000 years. But this is what the Bible reveals concerning this tribulation period and what's going to take place on the earth. And so his speech, verse 11 says, his speech is as a dragon. His speech is of the devil himself. He will have the authority to have those who oppose him killed. No tolerance. Zero tolerance of anyone who would reject the beast, who would reject to worship as they tell them to worship. Zero tolerance. Verse 15, that's what it says right there. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So you either take the mark of the beast and worship the beast or face execution. That's what's going to happen. That's the person. That's what the Bible reveals as a person of this false prophet. His objective is seen also in this passage of Scripture. And we've already somewhat mentioned it, but I want to share with you some other thoughts on that. First of all, to lead all of mankind to worship the Antichrist. We've seen that in verse 12. That's what he causes the earth and them which dwell thereon to worship the first beast. Now I want to take you over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church in Thessalonica. And they were somewhat confused, thinking that the rapture had already taken place. And so Paul had wrote to them and was telling them that you have been fed lies. And one of the first things he said in chapter 2, he says, we beseech you, brethren, in chapter 2 and verse 1, 2 Thessalonians, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gatherings together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. And some had already said that it had taken place and they'd been left there. All they'd be confusing them concerning what's going to happen at the rapture and on after that. Well, now he presents this to them and he tells them some things that Paul understood. And he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. A falling away of what? A falling away of Christianity. An apostasy. A falling away from the truths of God's word. A falling away of genuine worship. Apostasy. Can I tell you, in our day and age we're living in right now, even in what used to be really good churches, there is a falling away of doctrine. Because people don't want to be convicted of living however they want to live. And so when you preach doctrine and you preach and name sin, it upsets people. And now the new phase is, if you're wanting to build a church, you can't offend people. If you're going to have numbers, if you're going to grow and you're going to have a large congregation, then you have to start compromising with the word of God. You can't preach it just as it's written. You have to sugarcoat it. You have to water it down. You have to adopt more of the world's music because that's what people are used to. And you have to give them what they want. One of the first things that they'll tell you to do, if you're going to build one of these churches, you have to go and do surveys to find out what the people want and then give them what they want. And you can build a 21st century church. Now, you might build a congregation, you might gather people together, but it's not a true church. When you get away from the doctrine of the Word of God, and you get away from establishing the church the way Christ wants it established, when you get away from preaching of the Word of God, you don't have a true church. The true church looks to Christ and holds on to His doctrine and continues to preach the Word, no matter if it's popular or not. Because as we get closer to the rapture of the church, it will become less and less popular to preach the word, to live according to the ways of God. And so he says here, first of all, before the rapture, before this is going to take place, there's going to come a great apostasy, a falling away first, and then that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The Antichrist is going to become more prominent. A world leader. Now, I am not going to make predictions. I remember way back when, the preachers back when I was growing up was predicting, that guy's the Antichrist. He's going to lead the world into this one world, government. And you can look around and you can see how somebody that might try to combine Islam with Christianity. I'm not saying anything. I'm not pointing to any individual. I'm not doing that. But there is going to be a man of Christ, or a man of sin that's going to be Antichrist, but it's going to appear as a Christ, a Savior, a Lamb. Wow. He goes on and he says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. It's exactly what's going to happen. That's what this first beast is going to do. And the second beast is going to promote that. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. Just coming to pass. So that's what he's looking to do. That's what will happen during that time. In the second part, especially of the tribulation, there's going to be the false prophet, and he is going to lead the world to worship this Antichrist. He will control the world's commerce. Go back with me to the book of Revelations. That's why they're going to build an image of the beast. This image of the beast, found in verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. This image represents the beast and his ways. And this image is going to be what keeps track of every man, woman, and child on the earth. This image is what's going to keep track of what you buy and what you sell. World commerce had power to give life into the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. It will speak and store data of every man, woman, and child. Let me ask you something tonight. Be honest. How many of you have talked to your computers? How many of your computers talk back? Amen. These iPhones anymore, I'm telling you what. I don't know who this woman is, but she can tell you all kinds of stuff. This Siri, and I, who are you? I've got a GPS system in my car, and I go down the road, and I hear this woman telling me, turn here, turn there. You're lost. Turn around. Make a U-turn. This image is going to have everything about you programmed into it. Now, 2,000 years ago, people would have thought, that is no way. That is crazy. Just a few years ago, you might have thought the same. We've come a long way in technology. We've come to the place where we read that and we think, oh yeah, no doubt about that. Verse 15 and 17, what comes with this after the church is gone is this mark of the beast. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, everyone, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Computer chip, we're doing that now. They've been doing it for some time with animals. You want to make sure that your little puppy doesn't get lost, and you can pay to put a computer chip in him, and you'll know where he's at all the time. But this is going to take place, and it's not going to be a choice if you're wanting to live. Not going to be a choice if you want to buy or sell. Can you imagine those that during that time of the tribulation. Now, a lot of other things have already happened worldwide. There has been such devastation of the earth. The food is in very short supply. We've already studied some of the judgments. Water, drinking water, is in very short supply. They're going to be rationed out. During that time on this earth, the water shortages, the food shortages. And if you fail to deny Christ and worship this image, not only are you going to have to fear for your life being executed, but you won't be able to buy or sell. What a terrible time it'll be on this earth for those who realize that Christ is true. And then the Bible says about the mark, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. There has been a lot of controversy on what is that? What is a 666? And there's different, like I said, different men, I believe good men, can differ on some of that, because that's all the Bible says about it. As I research that, and as I look at that on myself, I know that the number of man was created on the sixth day. And he was created in the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And by taking that, you reject God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Which is exactly what Satan is trying to do in this church age. To get you to reject who God is. Without even taking the mark, without having a computer chip put in your hand or your forehead, without ever bowing down and worshiping a beast, Satan is already getting the victory in man's life by rejecting God. You reject him, it's just like taking the mark. Because the outcome's the same. The book of Revelation reveals things that will take place. Now, what a blessing to know I'm not going to be there. But knowing that we are closer now than ever before, I believe the purpose that God had in revealing that to us, first of all, is to know, look around. It's evident by society and where we've come that what he is saying is going to come to pass. And what we are here to do until the rapture of the church is to help as many people as we possibly can help to come to the knowledge of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. To receive him as their Savior so that they'll not have to worry about being here during that tribulation period. Starting with your family, your friends, your loved ones, and then reaching out into all the world. The Great Commission is for God's people, for God's church, to reach into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I trust that even understanding about this seventh personage, this second beast, will help us to have a greater desire to do what God would have us to do. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Understanding the book of Revelation, it's a powerful book in the Bible, has much there. And yet there are practical things that we can learn and make an application. And I trust tonight that that's exactly what's taken place. If you're here tonight and you can't go back to a point in time in your life when you realize you were lost and on your way to a devil's hell, that Jesus Christ, the precious Lamb of God, died to pay your sin debt. If you can't remember a time when you looked to him and believed him to be the Savior, believed him in his death, burial, and resurrection, and believed that he could offer you everlasting life, and at that moment, you received that gift by asking Jesus to come into your heart and to save you from your sins. If you can't go back to a point in time where you know that you received Christ as your Savior, then tonight might be that time. You need to know that you're saved. The Bible gives one plan of salvation. If you've not put your faith in him, if you've not been born again, you're not saved. What a terrible time it'll be for those that reject Christ during this tribulation period. Receive him tonight. Don't leave here without knowing for sure that you know him as your personal Savior. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray even now, God, that you would continue to work in our midst. That if there is anyone here tonight that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that tonight they would come and receive you before it's eternally too late. Now I pray, God, that we would have the understanding that you want us to have concerning what's going to take place so that it would motivate us to do all that we can do while we still have yet time to do it. I pray that you would use this church, God, to accomplish great and mighty things for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.